What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 135 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by the king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
Doing well, John. So, like I was just telling you, I just caught a fly with my bare hand.
I really wish we caught that on stream. I think that would have been fantastic content for all of our fans here on Twitch. So I'm kind of curious, how did you do it? Like, did you make any like karate noises when you did it, or how did it happen?
No, so I was downstairs grabbing a drink before the podcast, okay. And my wife was trying to get me to kill this fly. I was like, well, hey, I've got to record here in about a minute, so it's got to be quick. I watched it land, didn't hit it with the towel. I'm like, okay, one more swat. Whack! And just ended up with it in my hand.
Was it midair or was it still on the counter?
Oh, it was midair, baby.
Oh,
we only go midair around
here. You know
what?
Okay. All right. Kudos to you. That's quite interesting. Not quite sure how that involves esports or gaming, but
well, you see, it's reflex training. It's all helping my widow's snipes later on in the night in Overwatch.
Corey from the Washington Justice, you are not, sir. Clicking heads. I don't know. We're still practicing. Nation, make sure you follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That's at the Level Up Podcast. That's at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're on Twitter, make sure to give your favorite hosts a follow. Find Joey and myself on Twitter, Joey at Courtside King, and myself at Fiasco. If you're watching here live on Twitch, welcome to the stream as always. And those handles are below those mugshots you are currently staring at. And if you're listening to the podcast later on down the road, check out the show notes. They're right there for you as well. Nation, we're not going to lie. It's been a pretty crazy week. We flew down to Atlanta for the Overwatch League homestand this past weekend and flew back to DC all within 48 hours. And somehow we made it to work Monday morning. Joey, are we that OP? I feel like we're OP for doing that.
OP is one way to put it. We did not feel OP at the end of the night those days.
But coffee cures everything. While the Atlanta homestand is one topic this week, it's not the only topic. Joey, what else are we hitting this week on episode 135?
John, we're looking at some roster rehauls, especially Cloud9. They've completely redone their CSGO roster. On top of that, we have Cuphead headed to Netflix, the popular Microsoft and Xbox game Cuphead, now heading to Switch and Netflix. On top of that, we have some patents being sold out to Microsoft. In addition to that, we have some Virginia High School news as well in the world of esports and much, much more.
Of course, Virginia High School news for esports is something near and dear to both of us, Joey, because we're products of Virginia high schools. Wait, hold on. I went to public school. Did you go to public school?
I did not. Private did. School, but it was still Virginia.
We're not going to get into that debate. Joey, we have our topics, but I feel like we're going to need a little assistance. I'm still a little tired from this past weekend. We've been playing Overwatch quite a bit since the Atlanta homestand. So sleep was not exactly a priority this week. So I'm going to need me a pick-me-up. I'm going to need me a drink of choice. So, Joey, for the 135th time, because we're definitely not alcoholics, what is your drink of choice for this episode?
John, I'm going with a limited edition Corona Extra tonight with the lime. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I have to ask, what makes it a limited edition?
Honestly, I have no freaking clue.
What in the world?
I think it's the label.
A special edition? See? Like, I don't... That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't.
Yeah, I guess it's some kind of funky label or something. I can't remember what the normal Corona label looks like. So I know the blue and white. I don't remember exactly what it looks like. But hey, it's a great summer drink.
Speaking of summer drinks, I have cracked open another one of these beautiful, beautiful beverages. As a former fraternity member in college, I am all too familiar with Natty Lights. But this is the Natty Light Natterday. This is your strawberry lemonade beer. It is delicious, and it's very hard to find. It's probably like the only good beer from Natty Light. It's outstanding. It doesn't taste like alcohol at all, so it can be very dangerous if you have a six-pack just lying around. You'll never know you went through six of them. Dangerous. Joey, we have our beverages. We have our topics. You're laughing, so I'm going to throw it over to you for gaming and esports news. Let's go.
Wow, Natty Light and Corona, we are going heavy tonight.
God, it is a frat party. Like no other right here on the Level Up Podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, kicking it off, CSGO, Cloud9. They've completely shaken up their roster out. We have Rush moving to the bench. We have Valens moving to a data scientist role to assist the new head coach. We have Golden going on loan to Ninjas in Pajamas. He'll be playing with them for the Berlin Major at the very least. And then Vice and Cajun B will be moving on from Cloud9. John, as a Cloud9 fan, how do you feel about all these players being moved around?
This roster has been overhauled, I feel like, 18 different times since the Boston Major win they had. They need to find some way to get a team that clicks and competes. I mean, ever since that Boston Major, we've had major departures from this roster, and Cloud9 really hasn't been the same since. It's not surprising that Cloud9 needed to overhaul their roster. I'm glad they're doing it now. It probably should have done a little bit earlier, but really in CSGO, you have a lot of time to rebuild this roster, and Cloud9's doing, I feel like, at a really good spot here. Moving Rush to the bench. Rush is a great player. He may be lacking some motivational, things here and there. Just because from being from the pinnacle, then dropping all the way down to where Cloud9 has been lately, struggle bus. It hurts a little bit. So you got to do what you got to do. Fire under Rush. Maybe he can make his way back into the starting rotation there. It makes sense. Cloud9 needs the roster overhaul. So I'm excited to see how they're going to perform with this new roster.
And that new-look roster is going to include a few veterans and a few new players. It's going to be Automatic, Daps, Kusta, Tenz, and Mixwell, coached by their new coach, James IRL.
James in real
life. Very creative name there, James.
James in real life. That's solid. I like it.
Gotta love it. Now, I think this is a great move by Cloud9 overall. Like you said, they've been kind of stale since the Boston Major. Obviously, a lot of big roster shifts for them back then after that tournament, as a few players did move on after the event. They need to change something up, though. They're looking stale. The shot calling has not been there with Golden and the players they had previously. Flusha was there as veteran presence. That didn't work out either. They just need to do some changes. I think bringing in a complete overhaul is a good move by them. Keeping one or two players here and there involved, changing some other roles along with them. But now you're bringing in fresh blood, fresh motivation. You're really remotivating the players that were there and that are still around, as well as finding ways to involve new players. So I really like this move from Cloud9. They're an organization that's always been around and always seems to compete in every title they're in. This is a great move. FlyQuest is going to be a welcoming revenge as their new Academy top laner. I think this is a good move, too. I love seeing Academy teams continue to be built up. Revenge is one of those players that's really been touted in the NA scene. FlyQuest willing to take a jump on him and try to see how well he does at the Academy level. And last but not least, in League of Legends, we have Clutch Gaming parting ways with their head coach, McScrag. They have promoted the assistant head coach, ThinkCard, to the now interim head coach of Clutch Gaming. And then further, they have updated the Academy coach, moving Artemis as the assistant coach for the LCS. So little coaching changes here and there. Clutch Gaming has really left a lot to be desired so far this split. Not looking too great in spring, not looking great at the beginning of summer. They needed something to change. They think the roster is good enough. They don't feel like it's really the roster that's the issue. At least that's what we're seeing from these moves. They're thinking activating a new head coach, trying to bring someone else in with a new rhythm, a new look on things, and ways to activate these players is going to be the answer in their opinion, or at least enough to move them a bit up the standings. I think it's a good move. I don't know if it's the complete answer they need, though.
No, probably not the complete answer, but a change in regime, a change in tactics, a change in motivation, a change in team atmosphere, just the overall mentality of the team can change based upon your coaching staff and your managerial staff. That is something that we've seen a lot of teams, not just in League of Legends do, but all throughout all titles and even in traditional sports, you see a coaching change can really be the huge difference. You know, these players are not bad players. They are mechanically gifted. They're smart, intelligent players, and they're obviously play this game at a high level. Yeah, Clutch might be struggling, but I can tell you right now, Clutch would wipe anybody in North America right now off the table. Joey, if we put together a five stack right now and went up against Clutch, there's a reason that they're in the LCS and we're not. So you can't underestimate the level of the players as much as possibly the mentality and the coaching that was brought to this organization. So this could be what is needed to help kind of jumpstart Clutch Gaming to actually get them back into the LCS, get them back into contending status. But I do agree with you, Joe. I don't think it's the complete answer, but it's a step in the right direction with the new hires for the coaching staff for Clutch.
And I don't 100% know the answer of this, but we do know that Clutch Gaming is being sold to the organization that owns the Philadelphia 76ers and Team Dignitas for about $20 million. I don't know if that deal has completely gone through yet or if it comes through at the end of this season. So either way, with that in mind, you have to think, how many moves does an organization really want to make while they're mid-contract, whether they are still selling or whether it's already been sold? How much do you want to make during the season? How many big changes do you want to make? So I think part of that is going to be held over to the offseason, and that's why we're not seeing huge investments. I do like the coaching change. It does show they're still willing to make some changes here and there. They're wanting to try to reinvigorate the team, move them up the standings, but it doesn't look like they're going to take a full dive just yet. On to partnerships. We have Misfits partnering up with Outer Stuff. Misfits is one of those organizations, John, that continues to make really new partnerships. This one's not crazy new. It is an apparel manufacturer, but they are willing to jump out there. We've seen them jump on with Caffeine, a new up-and-coming streaming platform. It's like Twitch. It's like Azubu, but it's different. It's new. And Misfits is willing to take that dive. Now they're moving with Outer Stuff as well as their new manufacturer for apparel. Another great move by Misfits.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love apparel? I think Team Liquid is killing it when it comes to their apparel. Obviously, the crossover between esports and streetwear is really taking off. Kind of see what this collaboration is going to be for Misfits with this partnership with Outer Stuff. There's a lot of potential here. It's doing quite well. We're seeing more and more organizations do this, and I think it's smart. I think now that esports is more mainstream, the gaming and nerd culture, if you will, more mainstream, this is something that can easily cross over into everyday wear. I mean, Joey, myself alone, I have a Team Liquid hoodie that is a designed as a streetwear hoodie, but has, you know, Team Liquid's logo on it and like there are stripes on the shoulders, but it doesn't look like a stereotypical esport jersey or esport merch that we've seen over the past 5 years. It's very streetwear-esque, thus making it kind of trendy. You know, it doesn't stand out as nerdy as some of the other esport gear that has been put out there in the last, you know, 5-10 years. So clothing for esports is huge, and it can really bring your organization to that next level. Like we're seeing Fnatic do it. Fnatic's got an amazing clothing line also. I mean, people pay premium dollar for good clothing with a great design, with a theme, you know, that they can get behind. A lot of organizations are doing this. Like we saw the Overwatch League come out with their third jersey, which almost all of them, I would argue 99% of them look great. Maybe one or two that aren't so hot. But they also came out with a CityWear t-shirt. That's something that kind of represents the city that they represent. Like the Washington Justice came out with this amazing one. There you go. Perfectly. You're wearing it, Joey. This was not even planned. This was absolutely outstanding.
Not at all.
but it's got Washington in like all different colors. It looks absolutely amazing. It's got the logo right below it. It's on a beautiful black shirt. It just looks solid. It doesn't look like a stereotypical in-your-face nerdy esport t-shirt. It works. It's great. And you know, we both got one and it looks great. I wore mine down at the Atlanta homestand. It looks absolutely fantastic. That's what fans want. Fans want that cool crossover between esports and streetwear. Misfits has an opportunity to do that with this partnership, and it can really, really take their brand to that next level because they also have a really cool logo and a really cool name that will make that crossover even easier.
And this is the perfect time to make that crossover as well. Orgs need to do this. This is a great move by Misfits because of that. Because you're looking at esports right now, everyone has their eye on esports. All these huge business owners, all of these huge entrepreneurs, everyone's looking at esports because it has this huge billion-dollar valuation on it right now. Now that everyone has their eyes on it, now is the time to capitalize. Especially for games like Rocket League that are so easily translatable. But clothing is another big one. Find that casual clothing. Don't only do esports jerseys. Find those t-shirts, those sweats, those joggers, those tennis shoes. This is the perfect time to move in on that casual wear, get people invested into it. I mean, this shirt looks so clean. It looks so good. It has a little Washington Justice logo, but even then, like, it looks like Washington. I mean, it just capitalizes on the city. Anyone would wear this. Half the people probably don't know what esports are, and they would still like this shirt, but then they slowly move their way in, because then you get someone saying, oh, you like the Washington Justice? Who are the Washington Justice? I mean, it starts conversations. It brings people in. It's clothing is such an easy way to do it. Music is another one. I really, really like this move by Misfits. And like you said, Fnatic, Team Liquid, they have really led the way very well. The Overwatch League now capitalizing on it as well with new lines of clothing, new third jerseys too. And honestly, I might be in the minority here, but I like esports jerseys better than a lot of sports jerseys out there right now as well. They've just really capitalized it. and really made them look clean. They look nice. The material quality is going up. The way they use sponsors is honestly cleaner than a lot of sports jerseys out there. It has that very like European soccer approach to it. Yeah, it looks big on some of them, but hey, it's sponsorship space. You're selling that. You're making money for the organization. And honestly, I'm more willing to buy products when I have a jersey with them on it. If I'm wearing Monster, I'm most likely going to drink a Monster than a Red Bull at that moment. It's just kind of how the mind works. And I feel like this is a great way to do it by moving into clothing even more.
Boy, it'd be kind of ironic if you're wearing an eSport jersey with a big Monster logo on it and you're carrying a Red Bull in your hand. It's kind of like, do you understand what you're wearing there, sir or ma'am, wearing said eSport jersey with a gigantic green M on it? I mean, you're absolutely right, Joey. I feel like eSports has the opportunity to capitalize something here that traditional sports struggles with. I think the most I've ever paid for an eSport jersey, it was personalized, which does raise the price a little bit, but it was still like $100. Joey, a baseball jersey, authentic baseball jersey, will run you close to $350. An authentic hockey jersey, $350, maybe $400. It really depends upon, you know, how authentic is it. You know, is it truly game worn? Is it the pro player line, or is it the authentic that's out to the standard population? Basketball jerseys, those things don't even have sleeves, still over $200. You know, you can't make the fabric argument for that because there's no sleeves on it. But an eSport jersey that you can get personalized, you know, some places will, you know, heat press your name on it. Others will actually print the design with your name, which is the method I would prefer. But you can still do that for under $100. It's so clean. It's right. It's one of many things eSports does better than traditional sports. And I don't think we can hit that hard enough. eSports is creating this amazing community that is really accessible to everyone. Granted, yeah, $100 is still a little steep. But again, compare it to what we're spending our money on in traditional sports in that realm, in that atmosphere. We're paying well over $150 for soccer jerseys, $200, $300 for baseball jerseys. eSports, in comparison, super affordable, a great way to make fans through merchandise.
And speaking of impactful coverage, we have the Washington Justice, our very own Washington Justice, announcing a collaboration between them and the Story Mob to bring more impactful coverage of their team to their growing fan base. John, another great move here. I think more coverage never hurts, especially if you're going with a talented group like the Story Mob here, the Washington Justice, with a great move. They're an up-and-coming team. They're not doing that great this stage, obviously, but hey, it's the beginning. They're really working their way through. We have Grant over there now, a great friend of the show. I'm excited to see what they continue to grow as and grow into as a team, and I expect great things from them. I think the Story Mob is going to do a very good job portraying that as well.
As simple as this, we just talked about some of the things eSports does right: clothing, pricing. Another thing they do right, content. Fan content. Fans want more content. The great thing about eSports is the accessibility that fans have to the teams. We want to see behind the scenes. We want to see what's going on. What's practice like? What's the team house look like? I want to know what gear the players use, what keyboard, what mouse they use, what headset they use. Everyone wants to know because they want to have that connection. You can tweet at almost any Overwatch League player right now, and they will probably respond, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 times out of 10, depending upon, you know, their status, if you will. It's really cool. Like, prime example, I sent out a tweet. I didn't even tag the player in it, but when I got my Washington Justice third jersey, it was a Corey jersey. I didn't even tag him in it. He saw it, and he responded to that tweet. It was like, nice jersey, man, and, you know, because obviously it was him on it. But how often, you know, is Ben Roethlisberger for the Steelers going to do that when he's just randomly surfing on Twitter? Is Tom Brady going to do that? Is LeBron James going to do that? No, they're not going to do that. That's something that eSports does, that traditional sports does a terrible job at. Kudos to the Washington Justice. Fans want more access. They want to see what's going on. They want to have that relationship with the team. It's so cool, and Washington Justice are now doing that, and it's a huge step forward. It's going to make the fan base grow even faster than it already is. As a fan, I'm excited. I'm pumped up. I want to see more. I'm super excited about this move.
Absolutely a great move. Changing gears here, and this one's a little odd, John. This is going to be very different than our usual reportings. Netflix is set to add an adaptation of Cuphead into an animated series, The Cuphead Show. Described here It's described as a character-driven comedy which will follow the unique misadventures of the impulsive Cuphead and his cautious but easily swayed brother Mugman through their many misadventures across their surreal home of the Inkwell Isles. They've always got one another's back. I don't know what to think of this. I love the art style. It's like classic Mickey Mouse, Disney type of style. I really don't know how this one's going to go. We've seen a lot of shows and movies that are trying to be adapted from video games to that other entertainment platform of the movies and show business, and it just hasn't really worked that well. I mean, there's a few that did all right. Prince of Persia was pretty good out there, but we've seen a lot of them fail. This one now, with the Netflix approach, that Netflix has made some really good things. Stranger Things, everyone seems to be watching right now for season 3. Can Cuphead be the next Stranger Things, John?
No.
It's animated?
No.
It's not even close?
No. There is no argument Cuphead will be nowhere close to Stranger Things. Joey, look, on our flight back from Atlanta, I was watching Stranger Things on my iPad, but also the entire row in front of me was watching Stranger Things on their own mobile device. I don't see that happening with the Cuphead show. The name alone is so trolly and so dumb. It doesn't leave anything to the imagination. Like, if you're not a gamer and you don't know about Cuphead, can you imagine scrolling through your Netflix queue and all of a sudden it goes, now trending in your area, the Cuphead show, and it gives you that stupid little picture preview, and then you kind of hesitate for a couple seconds, and then it kicks in like a little little preview trailer, and you're sitting there going like, and his accomplice Mugman? The Cuphead and Mugman? Look, I have zero hope for any adaptation of a video game into any kind of streaming media, whether it's a movie or a Netflix or a TV show or anything. There's no hope because they always do something wrong. Take a look at the Warcraft community. They were so hyped that Warcraft was coming to the big screen. You know, they got their own movie. They're right up there with Super Mario Brothers, which was a travesty of a movie. So was Warcraft. They completely changed the lore. Like, almost every Warcraft fan was highly offended when they were watching that, going like, I mean, you might as well say the Alliance and the Horde are friends. And like, they're not. But that's essentially, you know, the kind of blasphemy that was spouted out in that movie. It was awful. Absolutely awful. I have no hope for this, Joey. Am I going to check it out? I'll probably watch an episode. But I have very low expectations for this.
Okay, so my expectations are not super high either. Like I said, video game movies and music and really any, well, not music, movies and shows usually fail. It's proven to happen over and over. The one thing, John, that sets this one a little bit apart for me is that the original creators that created the game are producing it as well. So you will have the original story in that sense. It's not a completely different producer coming in and writing their own thing and then having the game creators look over it. It is actually them producing it. So I think that is a huge plus for this adaptation. On top of that, it's just got such a cool, unique art style that I think it will do well in that sense. I don't think it's going to be the next Stranger Things. I don't think it comes even close. But I think it will be a cute little thing to watch here and there. It is intended... it's intended for adults, safe for kids. So it's going to be one of those type of things where it has those inside jokes that adults can click onto and kids won't quite understand, but it should be family safe for everyone. I love the game. I think the game is tons of fun to play. The art alone is crazy good, but also just the interactions, even the text blob, the really mannerisms of the characters. Like, there are so many cool, unique things in Cuphead that you don't see in many other games to this level. And I really like the way they did that. And I hope they capitalize on that in the show as well. But we'll have to wait and see on this one. Maybe we'll do a little live stream of watching Cuphead on Netflix. We'll see what happens. But I love the game and I really hope this does well, but I don't see it doing extremely that well.
I like that live stream idea.
Oh, I think it'd be fun. I still want to live stream this game with you. Unfortunately, I don't think they do online play yet. I think it's just screenplay.
Oh, Cuphead? Yeah.
Like split screen or whatever, or same screen, local play, whatever it's called. Nintendo, they've revealed the Switch Lite. It's going to be a compact, lightweight console edition of the Nintendo Switch dedicated to handheld play, priced at $200, set to arrive on September 20th. In three different colors. Those colors, I don't have the actual names of them, but it does look like a tealish blue, a silver, and a yellow. I'm a big fan of this, John. I feel like a lot of people who have the Nintendo Switch don't capitalize on the TV component anyway. this is saying, hey, this is the new Game Boy from Nintendo. Go ahead and use it as a handheld. That's what most people are doing anyway. This is a lightweight, more affordable version for them. I really think this sells pretty well.
And how much smaller is the screen on the light version from the standard?
See, asking the hard questions here.
Well, no, I'm just curious because I was trying to compare the two. Like, I couldn't find really any specific measurements, if you will, for the differences between the two. Now, there's also a rumor of a pro version coming out. Not quite sure when the announcement is going to be made. If it's going to be made, again, it is still a rumor, but also the light version of the Switch was rumored as well. We talked about it probably about a month or two.
Beep, 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 beep. It's going to be a 5.5-inch touch display compared to a 6.2-inch.
So you're barely downgrading. And it's $200 versus the full price. Better battery life, easier portability. And Joey, you know, out of all my friends that have a Switch, I hardly ever hear about them playing it on their TV. So really, you know, someone who is Switchless like myself, if I'm in the market for a Switch, I'm going to be looking at the Switch Lite. It makes sense. I'm not going to put it on a TV. I mean, why? And it's going to make it easier to carry around, like on plane flights or at conventions we go to, or, you know, intermissions at an eSport event or whatever. You can whip out your Switch Lite and just start, you know, smashing or whatever, you know? So there's a lot of really cool opportunity. I like you smashing. That's Smash Bros, people. Get your mind out of the gutter. Smashing buttons too. I mean, some of us don't do combos. Button smashing is a true lost art form in the gaming world. But yeah, I love this. And I think if I'm going to go this direction, I will be looking at the silver Switch Lite personally. But part of me also wants to wait to see what the Pro is going to look like. If it has the same kind of battery life as the Lite or can improve off the original design. Maybe it's a little bit of a bigger screen. You know, I'm kind of curious as to what the specs are going to be if there really is that Pro version coming out that is rumored. I kind of want to see the specs on that and the price point before I go all in on a Switch. But right now, the Lite is very attractive if you're looking for a portable gaming system, something like a Game Boy or a DS or a 3DS or something like that, something where you can be carrying it around with you throughout the day in a backpack or something, or in a case that's attached to your belt. I don't know. But the Lite, I feel like this is a huge, huge win for Nintendo coming out with this Lite version for the Switch.
Yeah, I mean, overall, if you're not going to capitalize on the TV capability of the original or even the Pro, I think this is the way to go. It's so much more portable, you have better battery life, and really, most people are playing it as a mobile device. If I'm going to a party, I'm most likely connecting mobile, like as a mobile device. I have my own device, or someone will have one with TV capability if you're going to a party, or unless you're hosting a lot of parties, you really don't need it. So to me, I think this is the way to go. Honestly, I kind of wish I had the Lite version as opposed to the normal version, just because of the portability of it. Being on the Metro on a regular basis here in DC, it would be so much easier to carry something like this. Yeah, it's not that much smaller, but it's lighter, it's more portable. The controller sides won't come out as easily if someone bumps your elbow or something like that. Like, this seems much more convenient to me, at least the way I play it. I like the idea. I think the original Switch is very well done, well made, and really unique in this sense. Like, nothing else was like it, that easy capability of switching from TV to handheld. But if you're not capitalizing on that, I think the Lite is the way to go. Like John said, though, you can wait and watch the Pro. I would also wait and try to find deals for it. When you look around Black Friday, you can probably get your new Pokemon game plus the Switch Lite for half the price of what it is now. So I would definitely look for those deals as well if you're looking at a Switch in the near future. Microsoft has been granted a patent for its Nintendo Switch-like mobile Xbox controllers. John, I did not put a link of those in the show, but they are pretty cool looking. Think Nintendo Switch, but think Microsoft's approach to gaming controllers, where it's a bit more ergonomic for your hands. It's going to feel a lot better to hold on to for long amounts of time. The Nintendo Switch, at least in my humble opinion, is not that great of a controller to hold on to with the normal Joy-Cons. That's why a lot of people go out and get the GameCube version or get the, I believe it's called the Pro version. It's kind of like their Xbox type of controller. So for me, I think Xbox is making a great move here, especially looking to the future. They can power it up with xCloud, link it up with that. If you want to play on your mobile device, if you want to play on your tablet, now you can throw this linkable controller onto it that Microsoft now has patented. Again, we don't have tons of detail on it yet, but I do think this is another great move from them. Microsoft really looking future-focused this generation. And speaking of Microsoft, let's stick with that. Xbox Game Studios, they add a former talent acquisition lead at Sony Worldwide Studios, Fiona Cherbach. She'll retain the same title with Xbox. John, I feel like we hit on these every couple weeks. We haven't recorded the last couple weeks. It's been a bit on and off with travel. But another big move from Xbox Game Studios and Microsoft bringing another Sony employee, whether it be from one of their AAA studios, whether it be from Sony themselves. Another huge signing here with Fiona coming in. I think she's going to do a great job under the Xbox Game Pass name. And she's once again, welcome to the Microsoft team.
Yeah, so another traitor has left Sony for the dark side. I hear the dark side does have cookies, but I didn't think anyone at Sony would be crazy enough to want to eat those cookies. Yeah, I mean, look, I hate talking about this. it's really hard to be a PlayStation fanboy when Xbox and Microsoft keep making these amazing moves. All I'm going to say is let's hype the hype train up even more now for Xbox and Microsoft. Let's see what comes out of all these acquisitions. Again, the bar gets set even higher with more and more great acquisitions for Microsoft and Xbox. Let's see the titles that come out. Let's see what's being developed. The signings are great. The products are, you know, the proof. Let's see the games. I'll sit back and wait.
Well, while you're waiting, you might want to check your credit card on your PlayStation Network as well, because they are getting hacked. Ladies and gentlemen, again, a major PlayStation exploit has been found as thieves can use your credit card information off of PSN without even having the CVV. This has supposedly been available for over a couple years now.
Oh, God.
And it just got revealed. So check those credit card statements, ladies and gentlemen. If you're buying battle passes on Fortnite every couple weeks, someone else might also be charging something else on there. So go ahead and check those out, kids, parents, everyone. John, this is big. This happens constantly, I feel like. Security exploits on the PlayStation Network, whether it be hackers with DDoS attacks, whether it be stealing information. I hate to say it, but it seems like this just happens over and over. I feel like they need to do a bit more testing over there on the Sony side.
Hey, Joey, have you finished season 3 of Stranger Things yet? Because I really don't want to talk about this anymore. Obviously, the hackers are Xbox fanboys because they don't attack the Xbox servers. I mean, at the end of the day, Xbox and Microsoft are completely untouched by all of these attempts. And I'm not going to sit here and accept the fact that you're going to sit here and tell me that Microsoft probably has a better firewall and anti-theft and hacking capabilities to fend these attacks off.
Just look at Windows.
Yeah, seriously, look at Windows. It sucks. You know, look, it's hard to defend Sony when this stuff keeps happening. And when it's been happening for years and we're just now hearing about it, look, we live in a digital world. We live in the digital age. This stuff happens. It's not uncommon. Producers and studios get hacked all the time. League of Legends, Blizzard, two major games, you know, League of Legends and like Overwatch and Warcraft, and the entire Blizzard servers get attacked and DDoSed all the time. It's like twice a week I get a tweet from Blizzard that pops up on my phone and goes, oh, we're investigating a DDoS attack. Look, I get it. It happens. You have to be upfront about it. Don't tell me this has been going on for 2 years today. Like, I don't want to know. Like, you should have told me, I don't know, 2 years ago? And if you're going to sit here and tell me, well, you just discovered it, are you really going to tell me you just discovered it 2 years down the road that your system was hacked? I mean, look, a lot of people, when their system gets hacked, what do? They go out to find the person and they hire the person. Not all the time. Sometimes they hire the hacker to kind of beef up their security. I can't defend Sony. It's ridiculous. You're bleeding out. You're falling apart right before our eyes. And it's really hard to be a Sony fanboy when you guys keep doing this crap. So, Joey, Xbox wins. Okay, move on.
At least for now, we'll see. New generations come out next year. We have new consoles. We've been having rumored specs, rumored games. We really don't know a ton of stuff yet about either one of them. And then you have the good old Google Stadia trying to make a move as well. So we'll have to see how everything shakes up in 2020. I think E3 2020 in particular will give us a lot of good insight into that. Moving to Virginia High School Esports, we have the Virginia High School League Executive Committee approving a one-year pilot program for esports. Two seasons will be offered, with the first one running from October until January, and the second one is yet to be announced, although the VHSL's Daryl Wilson said it will likely be February to May. So, really exciting stuff there, John. I think one of the keys in this in particular is that it will include three games. We're looking at League of Legends, Rocket League, and Smite. On top of that, the cost per student will be $64 per game title per season. So we are looking at students being charged for this. Not something new, especially for travel soccer kids and parents. They're used to paying a lot of money for this. Even high schools, a lot of the kids have to pay for their uniforms or have to pay for certain aspects of the equipment that they use. So overall, this is not super far off norm. At the same point, esports in high schools is something that's new and up and coming. Virginia making a great move here, in my opinion. I'm very curious to see how this plays out, and I love the fact that they are looking at it two seasons up front. They're not just looking at demoing one season. They are looking a bit more long-term with their approach.
Yeah, and it's smart. And, you know, you can't be upset for them charging for this. I think $64 is a decent price point. You're going to see these organizations now. They're going to do fundraisers. They're going to do things like other traditional sports teams have to do to get funding. Take my high school, for example. All the funding that comes in goes straight to the football team and the men's basketball team, or in my school in particular, the men's soccer team, because, you know, when I was there, they were good. So those are the three teams that got all the money. The women's teams, they didn't get anything. All the other secondary men's teams, they hardly got anything to cover their budget. They're still using jerseys that are torn up and are rags from like 8 years ago. So it's not anything different. I think you're going to see a lot of fundraising. Friends are going to try to hit up for their friends in high school to try to get money to help cover costs. They're going to hit parents up to help cover costs. You know, maybe they do an eSport cookie bake sale with controllers on icing, you know, on top of cookies. You never know. There could be unique things here. And I think this is the step in the right direction. I applaud VHSL for doing this. I wish they did it when I was in high school. That'd be pretty freaking sweet. But it's so smart with the way esports is expanding, the way high school all across the country are accepting esports and creating these leagues. It's incredible. And I think Virginia, I think the VHSL is doing it right with a pilot program. A couple of concerns I want to throw out there real quick. A lot of Virginia high schools, even in Northern Virginia and down in the Virginia Beach area, probably the two richer parts of the state, the high schools there don't have the necessary equipment. They don't have those gaming computers. Joey, let's be real here. A decent gaming computer is going to run you close to $1,000. And if you're playing Rocket League, you're going to need two of them. And if you have a team of you're going to have three of them. If you have a team of four, then you have to have four of them because you need to practice. You know, the kids are going to be able to bring their computers to school. If they're lucky enough to have a gaming computer, you're not going to expect them to go out and have their parents buy them a gaming laptop so it can be portable. That's absolutely ridiculous. You don't sign up for the football team and have them tell you, oh, go out and buy yourself your own helmet and pads. That's ridiculous. The school has to provide it. Where's that money going to come from? You're not going to be able to run, you know, Rocket League on a potato of a computer. You can do it with League of Legends. You know, your frame rate's going to be a little low, but you can do it. Rocket League is going to be difficult. Smite's going to be difficult. Those are both pretty graphically intensive games. League of Legends is really the only one where you can get away with a mediocre computer to play it. And it was designed that way. It makes sense. So it's going to be interesting to see where the funding's going to come from. How are they going to move things around to allow these high schools to get the equipment they need. I'm going to be curious to see what schools actually take it seriously. I'm going to be curious to see the response. I believe they ran a Twitter poll, and I think it was 28% on that Twitter poll was like, what the heck does esports even mean? A lot of them said
23, very close.
23, I couldn't remember off the top of my head. But like, there was a large response of no, Virginia high school should not be doing this. That is your boomer, your baby boomers going, oh, video games aren't real sports. And when you take a look at some of the people that retweeted that tweet and replied to that tweet, it's literally the baby boomer shaking their fist at the cloud. It's that Simpson meme, you know, old person yells at cloud or something like that. We see it all the time whenever esports goes mainstream, whenever esports is on ESPN or ABC or Disney. People absolutely freaking out. These are not real sports. These are nerds at a computer. There's no physical activity. This does nothing to stimulate the mind. Well, you know, you're wrong on all levels. But the thing is, that's the way the world's going. Esports is a thing. It's booming. It's growing. And this is a step in the right direction. We have to ignore the boomers. They're 60 and 70 years old. I'm sorry. At the end of the day, they're not in high school. Their opinion doesn't really matter. Do they have the money, though? They do. So that's where it gets tricky. You're going to need the high school, the PTA or whatever it's called, or the athletic board or whatever that helps raise money. You're going to need them to sign on to this, because that's the way you're going to get funding to get the materials and the systems you need to really make this what it could become for the Virginia High School League.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of it. So one, look at the poll. The poll is coming out of, I believe it's a council member, not 100% sure. Patrick Height is the name, but he's announcing that the committee voted this way to add esports. I'm thinking, well, who is following this guy? How many students are actually following their high school, let alone the actual high school like conglomerate, like Fairfax County Public Schools? How many students out of Fairfax High School are actually following Fairfax County Public Schools? Like, I would probably follow them for snow days, but I don't know if I'd follow them for anything else. And I feel like that's part of this poll here, like with the older people, the older generations voting on it. On top of it, we're also seeing some backlash from younger people as well. And part of that, I think, is just the misunderstanding as well as maybe the personal driven approach. Some people are saying, well, hey, why didn't we get Frisbee? Why didn't we get lacrosse? Well, you see, those are still hitting your athletic kids. Those might not be hitting the same audience. With esports, you can open it up to a new audience potentially. You could get those kids who are very athletic but are interested in video games, but you could also get it to those kids who might not be as socially driven in sporting languages, that are more interested in teaming up in League of Legends or Overwatch or these other electronic video style games. Like, I mean, when you look at it overall, there's just so many different approaches to it, and you're hitting different audiences in many levels. There are athletes that play games and there are gamers that play sports. But at the same point, you're also hitting really different demographics in a sense. So I think that is one really big approach with this as well. On top of that, John, I think the funding can come. Like you were saying, PTAs, friends of organizations of high schools, different team moms and team dads do a lot of good fundraising as well for a lot of rec programs. I think it can be the same thing at high school level, as long as you get the correct permits and all of that type of stuff. On top of that, Play Versus is also trying to bring equipment to different high schools throughout the nation. I think that's another good organization that we'll see a bunch of high school, what do you call them? High school leagues, high school groups. I don't even know what they're called at a public school level.
At a public school level, heathens of the world.
Well, so like private school, we had like conferences.
Yeah,
like athletic
thing.
Conferences.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
The same thing with high school?
Yeah, you still
high school?
Have okay. Conferences, yeah. We use,
okay,
we
so
use
like
the same
your conference
terms.
Will have, like, is there a governing body and everything over the conference?
VHSL.
Okay, so yeah, I would think that they would do a lot of the fundraising as well as the governing body. I think working with Play Versus will help bring some of that equipment in as well. So I think there's a lot of potential here. Like you said, funding is going to be expensive. Buying a soccer ball and a few shin guards is one thing. Buying gaming computers for a team of five is definitely much more expensive. So I'm curious to see how all that works out. At the same point, you are looking at one club that has maybe 10 computers or whatever, depending on the size of the body that's participating, as opposed to buying tons of football helmets and football pads for 50 to 60 kids per team, I would say, on a lot of these football teams nowadays. I don't know. It's a cost-weight analysis here, and I have a feeling we'll see equipment go to schools that get people to pre-register for the esports programs first. If they actually see an interest from the student body, I think they're going to be higher levels of funding going to those schools, as opposed to every single school that might only have one or two esport athletes at them. So I'll be curious to see how it all rolls out. I love the fact that Virginia is being proactive with it. Right here in our backyard, John, we can help out as they need. We can also go there and kind of give them some advice here and there, as we have some connections with the high schools as well. So I'm excited. I think this is a really good move from the VHSL.
I'm going to petition my high school right after this podcast to make sure they do this.
On Twitter?
On Twitter. No, I'm going to kick the door open tomorrow, I think. Yeah, that sounds like a great thing to do, and tell them you need to get esports right now. Now.
Wow, beautiful. Mm-hmm. WePlay is also making some moves in esports. WePlay Esports announces a Dota Underlords Open tournament. This is kind of, and it's not our first. We've seen a few of these out there, but it is a big auto brawler style tournament as Auto Chess continues to make a name for itself. Now we have the Underlords Open kicking off on July 27th with a prize pool of $15,000 up for grabs. And this is, I think, just the beginning of many of these, John. As we see Teamfight Tactics, a League of Legends, we have Dota with Underlords, we have Auto Chess, the original Dota mod, moving to mobile and then to PC in the Epic Store. I think we're going to see more and more Auto Brawler tournaments. This, to me, very much fits in that Battle Royale style. You can't really build a super competitive scene or a season-based scene around something like this, in my opinion, just because there's so much RNG involved. Just like Fortnite, I think it's one-off tournaments because who knows if you'll end up with a shotgun there? Who knows if you'll get blown out of the air? And it's the same kind of thing here. Who knows what you'll draw in these packs? Who knows where you'll be at that first fountain go-around or carousel or whatever they call it in Teamfight Tactics? I mean, there's just so much RNG involved. I feel like this has got to be one-off tournaments. I don't think you can build a season around it. At the same time, I could see these prize pools getting pretty big as Auto Chess is growing very much immensely, especially in Asia with China and Korea jumping in. They've really jumped onto the Dota mod, and now with Teamfight Tactics out, now with Dota having their own Underlords game as well, I think this is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger, and these prize pools will do the same.
I can't believe Auto Chess is the new Battle Royale. this is like a new one pops up. You know, and look, I was skeptical. I was absolutely skeptical. I did not want to play Auto Chess. I feel like you had to drag me to play TFT, and I like it. It's fun. I don't like the RNG of it because there's way too much that you can't control. Like sometimes you're just dealt an absolute crap hand to use that phrase in Auto Chess. But, you know, you just have to learn how to adapt, how to make those changes, have to think logically and take chances. I think that's where the real strategy comes in for Auto Chess. So I'm excited for this. I do agree with you. I don't see this as a season format as well. I think you're going to have to do these as those one-off tournaments, like you said, Joey. But with the popularity of Auto Chess games coming all over the world now, it makes sense. It makes sense to try to hold these tournaments going forward. I wouldn't be surprised to see this popping up in your own backyard or even our backyard anytime soon, an esports style event at a local gaming cafe, PC Bang, or anything around this area. These tournaments, I have a feeling, are going to be coming just like we saw when Apex, you know, was announced. We saw tournaments pop up almost overnight when that game was released. Same thing with Auto Chess. I feel like that's going to be the next step. And right here, a $15,000 tournament. Perfect.
Right, and it's right off the bat. And I can only imagine what Teamfight Tactics will draw in. I feel like Underlords is actually a better game right now, but with the backing of League of Legends, Riot Games, Teamfight Tactics is going to continue to grow and grow. We already see it on Twitch. They're just dominating stream numbers as far as Auto Chess goes. And then we have Auto Chess, the original, coming out on Epic later on. I expect this genre to keep growing up, that prize pool to keep growing as well. And John, I think there's definitely ways to adapt. So even with the RNG element, there are ways to make your way around it. At certain points, you're just screwed if you don't get the right item or you don't get the right draws. But at the same point, you can adapt. You can change your formation up. You can change the classes or races you're using. You can even change where your pieces are positioned in the formation they're in on the board itself. So there's a lot of different ways to move about it and to counter your opponent to a degree. But yeah, if he just keeps drawing three stars and three stars and three star characters over and over, there's only so much you can do. But I think there is some adaptability. Again, too much RNG to make it a season-based esport, but I think there is a good prize pool availability available for this game as it continues to grow. I think we're going to see a lot of money get thrown into it. Activision Blizzard has announced the new Overwatch League and Call of Duty League commissioners. Pete Velastica will move from the interim role to officially becoming the new head of the Overwatch League. Congratulations there, Pete. And that will be following Nate Nancer's departure to Epic Games, which we talked about a month ago. He's moving over, helping out with Psyonix and Rocket League, helping out with some of their other leagues over there like Fortnite as well. And we also have Joanna Ferries stepping up as the newly formed commissioner of Call of Duty Esports role. I think this is another great move. Call of Duty looking to follow in the footsteps of Overwatch League with hometown teams. They're developing that league now as organizations are buying into it. I want to say spots are going for about $25 million, if I remember correctly. So it's definitely a pretty penny out there to get these spots, but they are already having some Overwatch League organizations buy back into another league, this one being Call of Duty. My biggest question mark for Call of Duty, John, we don't have to hit on this too much because we've talked about it before, but with Call of Duty, you see new titles released practically every year and the whole esports scene changes. I'm really curious to see how the Call of Duty World League approaches that approach. I don't really want to see the scene change that much every single year. Yes, it keeps it kind of fresh, but it also is much harder for viewers to keep track of. I can keep track of one player, but if he sucks from one title to another because it's a different developer, there's only so much I can do because then I lose my favorite player or I lose my favorite map. And it's just, it's a lot of turnover. So I'm really curious how this league approaches that, under Joanna. Yeah,
and that is the biggest wild card. I think you hit the nail on the head there, is the fact is if these games come out as often as they do, which feels like every other year, or in some cases for some titles every year, those major changes from title to title will be enough to disrupt the pro scene. You know, you may not be good at, you know, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, but Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, you may be OP in because of the major changes to the mechanics and the gameplay and everything else. So that is going to be the biggest wild card going forward for this as an esport league. So it's going to be interesting to see how this develops going forward.
And up and coming, we have another big esports event coming up this weekend. It's kind of going to be like a trial for us. The E-League Gears Summer Series Invitational is this weekend. You'll get a first look at Gears of War 5 versus play during the event. Gears of War being one of the most popular console esports out there still to date. Now we get a look at what the next Gears of War 5 version of that multiplayer is going to look like. It's going to run from Saturday, July 13th through Sunday, July 14th. On top of that, if you do view the event and play some of the game, I think it's like an hour of the event and play maybe five matches of a certain mode, you can also unlock the esports Kate skin, which is going to be a great skin, Kate being one of the major characters of Gears 5 and previously Gears 4. I think this is a really good way to get people involved. And I'm kind of curious how this scene goes, John. With Xbox really making a lot of moves this generation, I think Gears of War could be on the up and up. I'm kind of curious. I actually don't know if they're still running it on console or if they have switched it to PC.
Was that a question for me?
No, it's just a question for whoever wants to answer it.
No, yeah, I mean, I would imagine it'd be switched to PC. Like, we kind of saw that with, like, the NBA 2K League, a game that was pretty much console-based. It did get moved to PC, mainly because of the controller issues, because you have Xbox players and you also have PlayStation players. That way, you can just plug your controller in without having an adapter to have a PlayStation controller work on an Xbox platform. You know, you can just plug it in via USB into the computer and you're set, you're good to go. I feel like that might be the direction they go here, instead of, like, I mean, but it is an Xbox exclusive title, so it would make sense to put it just on console. But I feel like the overall streaming ability, the production value would be easier if it's based on a PC. So that should be interesting. But Joey, here's my concern. And not just because I'm a PlayStation fanboy, not just because, you know, every time I played Gears of War, I haven't had an amazing, you know, mind-blowing experience.
We haven't played together either.
Though. Yeah, it's like people tell me I'm absolutely crazy for not liking Gears of War. While it's great, I think it can be a good esport title. It doesn't excite me. The game itself, to me, doesn't feel any different than any other shooter game out there, than any other, your Call of Duties of the world, or your CSGOs. Yeah, it's a different style. It's a little more sci-fi, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. That's great. But to me, and to a lot of other people I know, too, that aren't big Gears of War fans, they see this and they're just kind of like, yeah, okay. I mean, all right. I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of things that set it apart, but I don't think it's the stuff that's going to make it succeed as an esport, in my opinion. The big thing from the Call of Duty comparison is the third-person view. It's definitely one of the better third-person view games as far as esports titles go, at least on console, that is. You could argue Fortnite being one of the biggest ones out there. But then again, can you argue if Fortnite is really an esport or not is the other argument out there too. So there's a whole bunch of things to approach. I think the biggest thing for Gears of War in general is their campaign has always done really well. Their Horde mode is also extremely popular. The Versus mode has always left stuff to be desired for me as well, personally, as a Gears player here and there. I think the move to PC really opens it up to a whole nother level though. If they're not only making it available on PC, but they move the esports scene to PC, I think you open up to a whole nother player base as well. It'll continue to expand that way. The biggest issue as far as making it a mainstream esport is the gore in it. It is a very gory game. You are chainsawing up alien-infested enemies coming from under the ground. You can blow people up with a shotgun. Grenades are very gory. I think the gore in general is what's going to really hold it back as an esport because it has the mature tag on it. You can't have a lot of these kids playing Fortnite playing or watching Gears of War as easily. A lot of parents are going to be turned off by the amount of blood and gore involved in the game. Like, you're literally shooting enemies to bits with this crazy Nasher shotgun. And there's some very gory weapons in there as well. So I think that's really the thing that's going to hold it back for a lot of people, at least on an esports stage. Overall, I think the game is really fun to play. I think Gears of War 5 is going to do a great job. But esports-wise, the gore is a big, big factor.
Now, a lot of times in games that have heavy gore, they have an ability in the settings to turn gore off. Is that something that Gears of War has also, the ability to disable the blood and gore?
It does, but I think one of the issues with it is then you have the hardcore audience versus the casual audience.
Exactly.
The hardcore audience wants that chainsaw to go through and to see all that crazy gore come out. At the same point, that casual audience, to make it more mainstream, I mean, you're still chainsawing a guy. Like, even if you don't see blood, there's still a chainsaw going through someone. That, in general, I think is just gory in and of itself, blood or not. Additionally, with Gears of War, the team will be running two tech tests for the Xbox Game Pass subscribers and pre-order purchasers. Those will run with the first one July 19th through July 22nd, the second one running July 26th through the 29th. I am a Game Pass subscriber. I got it for 3 years for $1. Uno dolero. I don't know how to say it in Spanish. I don't remember. Spanish 5 at one point, guys.
private school, dinero? Remember, private school.
I think it's dinero. Dinero's dollar. Anyway, so I will be playing this. I will be testing it out. I will let you guys know how it goes after the weekend of the 19th through the 22nd. I am stoked, though. I really like Gears of War as a franchise. The multiplayer has never hooked me long-term, though. Again, I was on console. It's very different. It was competing with Call of Duty, with Halo, with not really Overwatch at the time, but somewhat Overwatch with Gears 4, I guess you could argue. But I didn't have a ton of friends who played it regularly as far as multiplayer. Because the multiplayer is fun, but it's very high level. It's very competitive at times, depending how much you play it, but it really was never my first choice game. I was always leaning to that Call of Duty or that Halo. So I'm curious, with it coming to PC, I have a feeling I'll still lean toward League of Legends, Overwatch. There's even more options on PC, I feel like. So I don't know if it'll be huge for me, but as a Game Pass subscriber, I will definitely be checking it out. Esports results, CSGO Team Liquid has won ESL Cologne and closed out the Intel Grand Slam. This has only been done twice in CSGO history. Team Liquid now being the second team to do it. This is a huge accomplishment. For any of you who watch tennis, this is like winning Wimbledon, winning, oh gosh, and see, now that I made that comparison, I can't remember them all. It's the clay courts US over Open. In France. What's the one in France, though? The clay courts.
Oh, don't ask me. I don't watch tennis, Joey. I would rather watch Gears of War esports than tennis.
The one Nadal wins every time. Roland Garros, I think is
sure,
the course.
Sure, if you say so.
Anyway, it's huge. This is winning major titles. They've swept all of them. Team Liquid looking killer in CSGO. Their counterparts of NA, Cloud9, not looking so clean after the Boston Major. But Team Liquid has really picked up the slack for North America. Not only do they have the freshest clothing and freshest jerseys, but they also have the freshest CSGO being played right now.
Tennis. Come on.
Okay, I need to find that other tournament. Chat, help me out. Our chat is lacking at the moment tonight.
Chat slightly.
We're not really rolling too deep at the moment.
We're kind of recording on an off day, too, here. It's a Wednesday,
true.
Not a Monday.
Yeah, so we'll have to look up our own tennis results, apparently. Overwatch League, though, John, you and I were at Atlanta this past weekend. We flew down there. We watched the Washington Justice. We watched many other teams compete as well. I think Atlanta did a hell of a job. They had a great audience. The production value was top point. I know they had one issue on, I think it was the day they had it on ESPN or the day they had it on, I can't remember the other channel they ended up streaming. It might have been ABC. But they had a little bit of issues here and there technically on the TV streaming. In point, it was very little issues. I felt like the production value was very good overall. The gaming was great. The players performed very well. The meet and greets, the signings were done well. I think overall the event was really good, and I was really excited, and I really want to go back to more, maybe Philly here soon.
Yeah, it was such a well-done event. So shout out to the Atlanta Reign. It was incredibly put together. Fairly smooth. When we first arrived there, Joe, we saw that long line in front of the Cobb Center there, the Energy Performing Arts Center, whatever they call it. And it like wrapped around this like cul-de-sac that's like right in front of the building. And we're like, oh boy, this is going to take forever to get in. But it actually moved fairly quickly. We didn't even go in through that line. But it was really well done. It was a large venue. It sat 4,000 people. Think of it like a concert hall. There was multi-tiers. There was an orchestra pit where people were sitting as well. The production was right there, floor level. You had the man, the myth, the legend himself, Golden Boy, standing right in the middle of the orchestra pit doing in between matches, giveaways and just kind of like fan interaction and stuff like that. It was really cool. The analyst desk was in the side ballroom. So if you're, a fan of like any of the hosts on the desk, you could go interact with them. You could go see them do their craft right there live in front of you. You could also interact with a lot of the sponsors. Coca-Cola was there. They had a really cool thing where you could take a picture with cosplayers and like have a souvenir for free from that event. It was fantastic. Bud Light did an amazing job too. Bud Light, again, a big sponsor. They're even on the Thunder Stick for the Atlanta Rain. There you go, right there. But I will have to shout out the Washington Justice, because not only did they put together a fan trip down there, we got our own Washington Justice Thunder Sticks as well with the amazing hashtag Justice Is Served.
Nice.
Might be the longest hashtag in Overwatch League. I'll have to double check that. But so much fun. And who doesn't love making noise at esport events? It's outstanding.
Our editor doesn't.
Our editor doesn't. Fun fact, that did not clip at all. So, Joe, if you said it did, you're lying. But no. I figured I'd throw that in there for some stupid reason. But overall, it was a great event. And that's what we have forward to. That's what we have to look forward to with Season 3. With the ability of having these teams play locally in the team, in the community that they represent. It was really cool to meet the players. I got Corey to sign my jersey, which was really cool. Got to meet Stratus, who absolutely popped off in his opportunity to be in the starting lineup this past weekend. It was so cool to watch the players. The Atlanta Reign, amazing hosts. The teams were all cool. The production was fantastic, right up there. I would argue with like Riot level. Maybe just a little bit below Riot, because Riot really does it right. But other than that, it was really cool. And Joey, we got to meet. We had the chance to see two casting icons in Monty and Doa cast live right there in front of us. I think they were like maybe even five rows away behind us, just casting a game. They're like right there. That was really cool to see them in person, and their trait and their skill casting an Overwatch match. So it was really cool overall. Guys, if you've never been to an esport event, if you've never been to an Overwatch League event live or a watch party or anything, you have to go. The energy is incredible. You get to meet so many cool people that have that same like interest. There are people wearing Atlanta Reign jerseys, Seoul Dynasty jerseys, Houston Outlaw jerseys, you know, when their teams weren't playing. Like that entire arena, that entire center was rooting for the Justice. That was really cool. Shanghai made playoffs. We're going to touch on the standings here in a little bit, but they made playoffs that weekend. They came from behind and secured the eighth spot. That was so cool to watch in person. I can't wait for Season 3. I can't wait for Season 3. I can't wait for more homestands. It is fantastic, guys. I kid you not. You need to go to this. And again, a huge shout out to the Washington Justice for putting together such an amazing trip for all the fans that went down as well to cheer on the Justice. It was fantastic. It was second to none. It was amazing. Just the access that they gave fans and all the meet and greets and all the cool swag they gave us. So freaking cool. The Justice are doing it right. And it's an organization that should be looked up to when it comes to fan interaction and building their fan support. I think it was fantastic.
Right. And what you hit on a ton of different things, but one other thing to hit on, I don't want to spend too much more time on it, but overall, I think the other key thing is looking to future seasons, like you mentioned, Season 3, Season 4, Season 5 down the line, is the fact that there is a home team advantage in these events for esports. It's not just professional sports. We saw Atlanta Reign come in not looking very good at all in Stage 3, and they came in, I want to say they won both of their games here an electric crowd.
2-0.
They came in, again, not looking good at all. But the fact that they were able to keep it tight, they heard the crowd cheering a ton between their rounds, between their matches, their maps, and they just got electrified. They were ready. They were feeling the pulse of the crowd, and they was able to carry them to two victories. I think that is a huge testament to esports in hometowns.
And it was so cool because like you could, even though the players have headsets on, they wear David Clark's, which are like airplane level like headsets. Like those block out a lot of sound. They could still hear the crowd. It was that loud. What was really exciting was in between maps when the Reign won, the players were standing up, they were pumped up, they were flexing, they're high-fiving, they're throwing their hands up. That's like one of the things I like about the NBA 2K League is that emotion. The players are able to show that emotion. They showed that emotion because the crowd was behind them. They're not playing in Los Angeles where it's such a melting pot of fandom. They were playing in front of their hometown, people that identify with the city of Atlanta. They were there supporting them because they are their players on the Atlanta Reign, their hometown team. Absolutely fantastic. I loved it. I want more of it, so I can't wait for Season 3.
Well, looking forward, Stage 3 is not over yet, so let's look at some Stage 3 playoffs. John, what do you have ahead of us, and let's do some quick-fire predictions.
All right, so Stage 3, the eight teams that made it, going from bottom to top, Shanghai Dragons in 8th, Houston Outlaws in 7th, The Valiant in 6th, Seoul Dynasty in 5th, they bounced back, San Francisco Shock 4th, Spark in 3rd, Titans in 2nd, and the undefeated New York Excelsior in 1st place heading into the playoffs. Let me pull up here the schedule because, you know, I probably should have done that beforehand. So Thursday, July 11th. Joey, that's tomorrow. Outlaws, yeah. Titans, Dragons, Excelsior. I mean, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. I think it's going to come down to New York and Vancouver again. I feel like it's the two Titans. New York is undefeated. New York also struggles in the playoffs as well. Can New York really pull it together again? Can they do it? Vancouver, the new kid on the block, if you will, has a solid roster. They've been performing out of their mind. They do have a blemish on their record, though. So I think it's going to come down to Vancouver and New York again. I'm going to go ahead and give it to New York, though. I feel like they're able to pull it off, and they looked really impressive this past weekend.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go the same way. I think New York over Vancouver in the finals. It could go Vancouver over New York, but I think those are your two teams. Looking at the matchups for the first round, though, Houston or Vancouver, we're both taking Vancouver. Shanghai, New York, we're both taking New York. But the other side here, Seoul Dynasty, San Francisco, who do you take?
I would love for Seoul Dynasty to pull this out. Seoul Dynasty is a team I rooted for in season one. They underperformed. They're performing a lot better now. But the Shock are still incredibly good. Their roster is a solid roster. They've been playing pretty well throughout the entire stage. I'm going to have to go ahead and give the edge to the Shock on this one.
Yeah, I would be shocked if San Francisco loses. Seoul Dynasty on the up and up, but again, I think San Francisco is just bringing the heat. They've looked good in the playoffs previously. I think we see no different here. Los Angeles Valiant, Hangzhou Spark. I will be taking the Spark in this one. I think this is the hardest one to predict, in my humble opinion. The Valiant and the Spark both looking pretty good. Shanghai and the Outlaws also bring some upset potential into the table. But Los Angeles and the Spark, I think, are about as even as we're going to get, in my opinion. I am going to take the Spark to advance, though.
I'm going to take the Finger Sparks. Let's go. Bang, bang, bang.
With that, let's shift over to League of Legends before we close out our last segment. Kicking off with the LEC, we do need to announce a few record-breaking viewership numbers here. The LEC has increased its overall viewership in the first 3 weeks of Summer Split in comparison with last year. This is after their numbers already went up for the Spring Split. Now they're up 37% of an increase in viewers for the Summer Split so far, with the average minute audience number fans watching at the same time up to 136,000. John, these are big numbers, and I think a lot of it has to be credited to the LEC rebrand. League of Legends as a game, it's been around for 10 years and it is still killing it, but the LEC rebrand looks so clean. They've signed so many high-level sponsors. They continue to build out great production, break content, and they just continue to be new, innovative, different ways of capitalizing on audiences, and it's really showing in the viewership numbers as well.
Yeah, and as an LCS fan, I'm kind of jealous about the overhaul the LEC got. Like, the production is fantastic for the LEC. I want the LCS to have a similar style. I think it looks fantastic. It's really eye-catching, and it's really fun to watch. But, Joey, how about we go down the standings here for the LEC real quick? Some team called Fnatic in first place, 6-0, G2 in second, 5-1, Splice in third, 4-2. We have a European three-way tie for fourth place at 3-3 with SK, Origin, and Schalke. And another three-way tie because, hey, it's Europe. We love ties. Rogue, Misfits Gaming, Team Vitality 2-4 in seventh place. And Excel Esports still being the anti-Fnatic 0-6.
The anti-Fnatic.
I love that. Joey, are there any LEC matches you're looking forward to this weekend when you're not watching Overwatch League playoffs?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Curveball.
Yeah, I know. I meant to look this up ahead of time. Honestly, I'm not super stoked for a ton of these matches. I'm going to go with Misfits and Vitality and SK and Excel. No, Misfits and Vitality, I think, is the highlight for me.
I will have to agree with you.
And then SK and Splice as well in the first day. I think those are two teams, well, three teams, I guess, overall, that we're really not sure where they land at overall. They've shown potential here and there. They've shown that they've been weaker teams compared to these higher level teams like Fnatic, like G2, like Origin, which EU has a very clear top three. I'm curious to see how the rest of the bottom three kind of fall their way out for the rest of the playoff spots. That 4 through 6 spot are very much in the air, in my opinion. Like you said, there's ties all around. I'm curious to see who's going to fall in those spots, and I think these matchups are going to get us a little bit closer to finding out who is the best of the middle ground. Ready to shake it on over to the LCS?
What's popping in the LCS, Joey?
So the LCS actually played this last week after a terrible Rift Rivals performance for NA up against EU. But they looked resilient coming back here to North America in their own league in the LCS. Cloud9 looking probably the most resilient. And now they are sitting atop the standings, tied with Counter Logic Gaming and Team Liquid at 7-3. Fourth place, we have TSM and Optic Gaming at 6-4. Sixth, the Golden Guardians at 5-5. Seventh, Clutch Gaming at 4-6. FlyQuest wrapping up your eighth spot, tied with 100 Thieves at 3-7. Echo Fox sitting at 2-8. So besides the Cloud9 Team Liquid match from this past week, what other matches stuck out to you, John?
The Cloud9 Team Liquid? I mean, you're right. Just real quick, Cloud9 did this with a rookie top laner, you know, because I am Licorice. Thank you. I was about blanking on his name for a second. Licorice is having some wrist issues, which is unfortunately, it's common in esports. He's having some wrist issues. So they're kind of shutting him down for a little bit. So a rookie starts in top lane, and they still pull it off. I mean, it was a great performance by Cloud9. Cloud9 goes 2-0 on the week, defeating Team Liquid and Clutch, which, well, beating Clutch isn't that big of a deal. But beating Team Liquid's pretty freaking good. Two former Cloud9 players on Team Liquid still. So that's really cool to see Cloud9 do that as well, really bouncing back from a couple shaky performances weeks prior. But really, I mean, that was your highlight from last week, was that Cloud9 Team Liquid game. Everything else was fairly normal. Optic Gaming taking the win over Golden Guardians. That was, at the time, a battle of 5-4 teams. So that was kind of interesting as well. Optic now with an above 500 record at 6-4. That's really exciting for them as well. Liquid bouncing back against 100 Thieves in the second day. Again, 100 Thieves, nothing special at the moment. But they were able to bounce back as well. How about CLG beating TSM of the old school LCS rivals there? That's the one that was really kind of cool to watch too. CLG making a lot of roster moves, and it's working for them. They're 7-3. They're now tied for first, and they got to beat their arch rival, TSM, that goes all the way back in LCS history.
Right, and the other key one to touch on is 100 Thieves. They looked hot there for a little bit. Now they cooled on down. Again, they were up against TSM. We said the same thing against Golden Guardians last week, playing TSM and Team Liquid. These are teams you're really not 100% sure where they weigh out. They're obviously not the top-level teams, but they're doing really well against other-level teams. So where do they kind of fall in the mid is kind of where we're watching, especially around that 5-6 spot for playoffs. So keep an eye out on the Golden Guardians and 100 Thieves. They are still hot out there. We just don't know when that streak is going to come back alive or when it's going to end. Looking forward to next week, John. We have some spicy matchups on the table. Which ones stick out to you the most on day one and two?
Two matches that stick out to me, Team Liquid and CLG, a battle of the tie for three, a three-way tie for first place. Both teams at 7-3, both teams performing incredibly well. That's going to be a spicy matchup on day one. And on day two, if you like history, if you like old school matchups, it doesn't get any better than Cloud9 and TSM. TSM has had Cloud9's number. TSM in second place. They're not far from out from first place. Cloud9, again, in that three-way tie up there along with Team Liquid and CLG. Can Cloud9 do it? Can Cloud9 defeat TSM, something they've struggled with in the past several years? That's going to be interesting to watch as well. Those are my two must-see matches for the LCS.
And I'm going to slide one more in there for those analysts trying to figure out what playoffs look like, and that is CLG Golden Guardians. Again, Golden Guardians has fallen against two of the bigger teams in TSM and Team Liquid. How do they size up on another top team in CLG? That's what I'm really curious about as well.
Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to interact with us and this show. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. You can also find us streaming regularly on Twitch. Richard did a Hat in Time last night. Good time with Ghost Runner there. We do the Level Up Podcast regularly on Monday nights. You can find that twitch.tv/OTN_live.
All right. Make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of the Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
level up.